Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and you know, a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone's having a good week so far, and I hope you have a better week to follow. So happy Tuesday, Pam.
Happy Tuesday, Phil. How's it going?
Well, except for the dog wanting to bark now because, you know, he needs to be part of the action. No, I'm doing all right. Thanks.
Oh, absolutely. Well, who wouldn't want to be part of this action?
Absolutely. There you go. That is the perfect sentence for that. But, yeah, so I'm looking forward to the poetry tonight. It should be really good. I'm not sure if Victoria is calling us in or calling in tonight to join us for a few minutes or so. But I guess I'll figure that out as we go along.
All right.
That'll be
sounds
nice
good to
her.
Me.
I know she was doing some major calculations earlier, so I guess we have to figure it out. But it'll be good to hear from her. Anywho,
absolutely.
Now that's done, and we have a full board, an absolutely full board.
Yes. I actually read through the board earlier today, and really, absolutely some beautiful poetry.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff. Okay, well, I got to tell you, my power just went out, so everything is down except my phone. So
okay, well, I'll go ahead
bring the fellas on, and I guess you get the party started without me because I can't do anything. Okay, sorry.
Well, I've been there before plenty of times, so no problem. Well, first of all, I'm going to bring Laurent on. Hi, Laurent. Welcome. Glad you could join us.
Well, thank you, Pam. A pleasure to be here. And, Jean, I hope you're not in the dark for very long.
She's dancing in the dark.
Ooh.
And I'd like to welcome Tom to the show. Hey, Tom. Welcome. Glad you could join us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I understand what it's like, Jean. I've been in the dark all my life.
So true. All right. Well, let me go ahead and look at this board. I tell you, autumn and spring are my two favorite seasons. Absolutely. And
I can easily get rid of the Virginia sweat.
Yep. So true. And let's go ahead and I'll grab one. Oh, yeah, I suppose when you live down south like you do, you don't get too many cool days.
Not in August or even September anymore.
Yep. Oh, I totally get that. All right. Up first, we have Days of Fall by Inner Sanctum. And, Tom, would you give that a read for us, please?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Days of Fall by Inner Sanctum. Excuse me. I contemplate the autumn days and cooler times ahead. It helps my summertime malaise to dream of fall instead. I close my eyes and picture leaves in yellow, orange, and red. Somehow, that scenery relieves my August sense of dread. I see a chilly autumn night where I lie by the fire, a harvest moon beams down its light. Nocturnal birds conspire to fill the night with melodies entrancing one and all. Oh, how I yearn for nights like these and dream of days of fall.
Wonderful read, Tom. And thank you, Inner Sanctum, for the beautiful light. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Some people don't like summertime. So right off the bat in that first stanza, I contemplate the autumn days and cooler times ahead. It helps my summertime malaise to dream of fall instead, and then to close the eyes and see the different colors, the yellow, the orange, and the red, and somehow that's comforting to him. I guess some people don't like summer. It can be really hot. If you live in the wrong part of the country, like the South, you've got extreme heat, you've got mosquitoes, but here, where it's cooler, you can enjoy a harvest moon as it beams down its light and listen to nocturnal birds conspire. Beautiful piece.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, this has a sort of delightful ring to it. I mean, we may look forward to spring and summer in the midst of February blues, but there comes a time around August, I guess, where you start dreaming of it being cool. So this really strikes home really nicely. It's a time of year, and I find it rather a delightful read.
Absolutely, yeah. In her sanctum, she always has just really wonderful rhyme and flow to her to her rites. And what I do like about this one is that it's got that honesty about not liking those really hot summer days. And I can definitely relate to that because, while I don't like the extreme cold of the winter months like January and February, it starts to get a little too uncomfortable in August. And I like that she expresses that, and she expresses a celebration and a dreaming of those coming days of fall. So excellent writing, very well done. And up next we have Autumn Hughes by Longfellow Serenade. And Laurent, go ahead, if you don't mind, give that a read for us, please.
All right. Autumn Hughes. In autumn, when bright hues explode, I drive along a country road. It brings a smile as I behold the leaves of green turn red and gold. With windows down, I breathe the air and take in Mother Nature's flair. In awe, I watch her color scheme take on a strictly autumn theme. The fallen leaves give off a smell that I remember all too well from days when I would rake a pile and jump and play in them a while. My favorite season is the fall, and I don't mind the cold at all. I love the panoramic view beneath a sky of purest blue. If I am not at my abode, you'll find me on a country road. For when I'm on that rural lane, I feel just like a child again. End poem.
Great, great read there, Lawrence, and thank you for the write there, Longfellow Serenade. Absolutely beautiful. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, I look forward to anything by Longfellow Serenade, and this one was worth looking forward to. Absolutely. I love his joy that he brings, I guess, that's the way to say it, to what often is seen by people I know as those darn people driving down the roads too slow to look at all this, the autumn colors. I used to live way out in near Marshall, west of Warrenton in Virginia, and the only road going out there was 55, not because 66 hadn't been put in yet, and you'd be trying to get home and wanting to get do the speed limit or faster, and it'd be people going 35 miles an hour looking at the leaves, and the traffic would be backed up for 2 miles. We learned to hate them deeply, I promise you.
I could totally see that. I could understand that.
But this takes all. I love his bringing in the business about children who love to play and jump into a pile of leaves. I was just looking recently at pictures of my son and a friend of his all half buried in a pile of leaves I'd raked up in front of our house. He catches a lot of the really wonderful things that makes us all so happy when fall arrives.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. Those are some of the most beautiful and precious memories. The children getting to play in the leaves. And excellent comment. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
Well, on a technical point of view, immaculate rhyming and flow. He constructs this beautifully. And he has a beginning on a country road, and he has an ending on a country road. And he gives us the fallen diamonds that the trees drop of green red and gold. I do like the fact that he begins and ends on the country road, because when the leaves are blazing at their brightest, the colors are literally breathtaking. The best thing in the world is to take a drive down a country road and appreciate the scenery and drink it in. Because it truly is magic, just like this poem, magic.
Absolutely. And I have to agree with you on a technical level. His poetry always flows beautifully. It has a real classic feel to it, and it's neater. And also just wonderful use of imagery. I like that he brings in the joy and the playfulness, as Tom had mentioned, of the jumping in the leaves. And, you know, there just is really something so stunning about this time of year, especially in certain areas. Like, you know, I remember when I went to New York State years ago to visit my sister during fall, and that was probably some of the most beautiful autumn foliage I've ever seen. And the other time was when I used to live near Lake Superior during autumn. There was a drive that you would take that just absolutely stunning. And I like that he captures that. And his use of the word hues instead of hue instead of color. You know, I like when people kind of mix things up a little bit with their use of words.
If I may.
All right. Yes, absolutely.
Another beautiful thing to do this time of year, if you're a golfer, when you play golf, you're looking at a curried countryside. You're looking at immaculate greens, beautiful green grass. Everything is cultivated for its beauty. And when the leaves turn colors and they add that extra dimension to a golf course, there are times I just thought it was the most beautiful place on earth.
Oh, yes, I bet. Yeah. I could imagine that. I'm going to guess, since we haven't seen Phil peek in Late Night Poets, that she's still in the dark with everything off. I want to ask you a favor, Laurent.
Yeah.
I was doing a lot of dusting today, so my allergies have my throat really sore. Would you be all right with leading comments until Gina's back, or you know,
I'll be happy
she
to.
Wants it?
Yeah, I'll be happy
oh,
to.
Sure. That would be great, because if I could do a little less talking, it would really help my throat.
We can't work together. It would be a sad day.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, I am going to go ahead and put up the next poem, and I'll go ahead and give this one a read, and it's Cinnamon Skies by Betty Page. It goes like this. Dreamy cinnamon, vanilla cloud, apple pie, blue skies, maple leaf colors, drifting amidst butterflies, golden sun shimmers, whimsical winds blow, melodically, though silence, wild birds sing along in flush green meadows. I feel sunlight's warm embrace dancing around me, gently with kisses, cozy comfort from heaven, shining in my heart. Tattoos joy within. Though violent storms may come, there still are rainbows. Vividly shines bright as storm clouds roll past, slow lightning strikes my soul. Love is beautiful. Nature is a gift from God for us to enjoy. Treasure all colors, every sight, sound, scent, taste, touch, and childlike wonder. Rose-tinted glasses views this world with innocence, chases shooting stars, cascading waters, winding its way towards the sea, swirl, rise, and then crash. Daylight, now starlight, daydreaming from my windows on this autumn day, sipping mocha swirls, my head's way up in the clouds, lost in cinnamon skies. And poem.
Well, for someone who had a rough throat, I thought you did an outstanding job reading that. Nice job, Pam. And Thomas, it's just you and me, so I'm going to let you start.
Oh, well, you're so nice. I delight in Betty's poetry. In part, her quick, short, brief little tricettes, I guess you'd call them, where she catches so much in a quick line. I envy it perhaps because I can't do it. And I took me years to learn that just because people could do a lot of things I couldn't do didn't mean that somehow they were better than me, because somebody pointed out there's a lot of things I do that other people can't do. But I do still feel a certain envy at this particular skill of catching so much in quick, short little lines. And by the time we get to the end, I'm just thoroughly enchanted by her description and by the way she has created an entire new universe to me, and a whole new way of looking at fall. And the last line with this touch of cinnamon skies, I just thought was perfect. So I was quite enchanted.
Thank you, Thomas. I absolutely picked up on the same thing you did with the cinnamon skies. Well, it's hard not to. It's the title. But still, you know, when you find a phrase or a couple of words that seem to work, and for me, cinnamon skies works very nicely. You want to use it. And those first two stanzas, dreamy cinnamon, vanilla clouds, apple pie, blue skies, maple leaf's colors, drifting amidst butterflies, golden sun shimmers. There's a lot going on in there. Colors, tastes, textures. It's a wonderful way to introduce a poem. I agree with you on that. I think you call them tercets.
Mm-hmm.
Brief, punchy lines. They're actually quite beautiful. Cascading waters, winding its way towards the sea, swirl, rise, and then crash. She adds motion whenever she wants to. She adds color. He adds color whenever he wants to. It really is a beautiful piece. And now I think I'm going to ask Pam for a very brief comment.
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. You know, you can tell when somebody is finding joy in a piece that they're writing. And I felt that way about Betty's piece here. You know, the fact that she has wonderful lines, like about enjoying this time of just like children. And then little tidbits of wisdom, like though violent storms may come, there are still rainbows. This was it. Treasure all colors and recite sound, sense, taste, touch, and childlike wonder. Those are just absolutely beautiful lines, and this is a very well-done piece.
Hey, Pam?
Yep.
I always thought Betty Page was a girl, but if I look down at the AN, it says Chris K.
Is well, Betty Page short for like Christine? She is a girl.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
I wanted to make sure on that.
Oh, I know, because we often bump into that problem of if somebody has a neutral name. Yep. All right. And up next.
Did y'all miss me?
Oh, there she is. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's a lovely, lovely day in the neighborhood. I'm telling you. I had to go out. I had to figure out how to get up there. I had to get above the washing machine and back in the corner. I was like, oh, my God, you're kidding me. So anyway, I'll just curse and swear. That's why I muted myself. I didn't want anybody to hear me cursing. So, Pam, I don't know where we have been. Okay, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I just put up Swan Songs for Tom to read. Other than that, we've done... we did Betty Page, Longfellow Serenade, and I forget her name.
Okay, just shoot me a note. That's all.
You know, that coffee? She asked to be allowed to be quiet.
In her sanctum.
We agreed to do that. And as soon as she got a chance, she's off and running still. You know, it's that caffeine.
Okay, Pam, thank you.
Dag
I appreciate
in the
you.
Alpine.
Yep, absolutely.
The glitter of gold from a softer sun is filtered through the antlers of a stag with swollen neck as he takes in the silver frosted air and lets out small clouds of steam. The large sable eyes shine and the ears point in each direction that he gazes. He sniffs the ground and walks with purpose. old scars on his face mark lessons learned as he lingers slowly along the edge of a meadow, never out in the open. I lean against the paper birch and steady my tripod as I line him up in the background of the buck aspens in their sharp saffron and russet red dapple the mountain all the way to the top where the first trace of snow has powdered the hemlock and cedar. I take in a breath and let it out slow. The deer does not know I am here and the aperture is lined up perfectly for I have killed before. This time a staccato of shots echo from a super telephoto lens and I capture the animal again and again to mark the lessons that I have also learned. End poem.
Oh, Tom, you did a great job on that read. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I look at Swan Song's picture, and I don't want to typecast, but guy looks like he could be a hunter, man of the outdoors. But he hunts with a camera. And to me, that is the best way to hunt. I mean, other than if you're hunting for food, which is an entirely different thing. But when you hunt with a camera, you hunt for those magic moments. And as he says in that stanza, I capture the animal again and again and again to mark the lessons that I have also learned. But going back to the top two stanzas, this is a man who spent time in the outdoors because he describes the stag beautifully. And I love the fact that he used the word stag instead of deer. The swollen neck, the frosted air that he breathes in and lets out small clouds of steam, the large sable eyes and the ears, which point in the direction he gazes. He sniffs the ground and walks with purpose. That's great writing. It really is. It's a wonderful little piece. Pam, could I have your take on this? Pam, are you there or are you on break? I will assume mm-hmm. that you're on break. Let me go to Tom. Tom, how about you? You read that beautifully.
I really like the way he sets the scene, the glitter of gold from a softer sun. He already has put the hush right there in the poem. And it is filtered to the antlers of a stag. All of a sudden, you're caught. And then as he describes the animal, the sense of the chill from the small clouds of steam, the feeling of it being a moment of grandeur in a sense as he goes into the old scars and lessons learned, all this before he brings himself really into the poem. And I steady my tripod as I line him up. He could be taking a shot from the ground. And he describes the animal. And then I take in breath and let it out slow. Again, that could be getting ready to pull the trigger because I've known far too many deer hunters in my time. And then when he says the aperture is perfectly lined up, I knew it was a camera.
Thank you, Tom.
I thought there's a certain sense of drama that he really works into this really nicely. So that when you get to the whole business about it being a telephoto lens and the lessons he's learned, it really says so much without having to say any of it at all, which I really find very, very artful and very well done. I really like it.
You're absolutely right, because he creates that tension with his misdirection as we fear the bullet, but smile as we hear the camera click. Gene, how about you?
I thought this was gorgeous. I love Swan Song's imagery. You know, his nature imagery is just incredible always. And I enjoyed it as well, leading you to believe that he's hunting this animal. Well, technically he is. He's hunting it with a camera, you know. Beautiful imagery throughout. I think it was, I hate when I do that, because what I do is I close it out and then I can't remember. But I thought it was gorgeous imagery, wonderful job with the excellent piece. Awesome work, and I really enjoyed it. I think that there was so much going on. It was a picture that was painted for real throughout. Like, he started with the lessons learned, staying off to the side and not out in the open. And he gives you that little bit of personality or mindset of the stag itself, which is intriguing. And I think that he pulls in the colors and the textures, like you said, Laurent. And, it's just beautiful, really beautiful. So, yep, I want to thank you, Swan Song, for putting one up for the contest. Absolutely. Great stuff. Mm-hmm. Pam, are you back?
I am, yes.
Right. And, you want to comment on this?
Absolutely. This was beautiful. I really liked how it had a sense of intimacy, like how it was just him and the stag, and the stag didn't know he was there and going about its own business. And I like how he kind of did that little bit of play on words to make you think it was about hunting, but it was how it was like, as Laurent mentioned, you smile when you hear the click of the camera. I thought it had wonderful imagery all the way through, and it was very well done.
I agree with that. Okay, 100%. Okay. Let me see now. I can get a hold of myself. Okay, I found that. Okay, so now I'm going to put up Lynn Gauthier's piece. And I have a sound set for that. And play that. Okay. Here we go.
In contemplation of autumn. When autumn leaves turn to gold and our sun's ardor turns to cool, my heart finds deep peace and joy in appreciation of life's universal, in appreciation of life's universal cycles of birth through youth to growth and wisdom. Eventually, all living things give in to slumber, to await renewal. Such is the perpetual galactic motion of life to death, to glorious rebirth. Before our eyes, at times, beautiful and graceful, ever constant, the intergalactic waves furl and unfurl.
Beautiful SoundCloud, beautiful SoundCloud. What I heard of it, I really enjoyed. I can't comment in specific because we didn't manage to get the text, but I really did enjoy this quite a bit. How about you, Tom?
It's beautiful.
The contemplation of autumn is up now. The lines that I really liked had to do with all living things give into slumber to await renewal, such as the perpetual cosmic motion of life to death, the glorious rebirth. And in that line is the universe and the sum total of what we do, living and dying, awaiting rebirth. Now that you had a moment to go with the text, Tom, would you like to make a comment?
Well, I like the opening because it's very specific. When autumn leaves turn to gold and our sun's ardor turns to cool, my heart finds peace and deep joy. And then as she takes a gaze upon the world about her and speaks to it, I agree that second verse is truly beautiful. But I love how in the last ones she expands out from the local and the immediate to the before our eyes at times, beautiful and graceful, ever constant, the intergalactic waves furl and unfurl. It opens up time into a larger landscape and somehow makes this moment much more fragile and personal than it was before. Very, very, very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Tom. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is an absolutely beautiful brevity. I like how she put in lines that are personal and really strike an emotional chord, like my heart finds peace and deep joy. But then she uses words like life's universal cycles and perpetual cosmic motion and intergalactic waves. And I know Tom touched upon this, but I really thought it added a nice touch of a very thought-provoking in the way that she expanded it beyond herself and looked at the cycle of the universe throughout the seasons in only a few short lines. So I thought that was very well done.
I am in complete agreement. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this was really beautiful. Great lines, you know, throughout. I was going to say, oh, well, I like the first stanza. No, I can't say I like the first stanza. I like it all. It really is all well tied together. And I think that the imagery was lovely. I thought it was well expressed. I just thought it was great work all the way around. Just wonderful work, Lynn, and thank you very much. I appreciate that. Sorry I didn't put the text up quick enough. I was, like, bebopping around. Oh, yeah. I did, like, put it up later, though. Okay. Hey, Jeremy. Welcome aboard. Okay. Here we go. All right. Can I get you to read the next one? Please.
Certainly.
Thank you.
This is called Autumn Breeze by Daniel Duchino. A world alive. I feel, I am the energy that surrounds from creatures microbic to creatures monstrous to the green of plants that grasp the energy of the sky. But as duality is rhythm and rhythm is life, all those awaken at some point sleep. Fatigue, the gift of peace within the gift of life. The autumn breeze of the day at hand, a lullaby from the breath of Mother Earth. And the greens of life turn hypnotic shades as colors dance in the winter wind and fall with a gentle kiss to the ground. And those that watch fall to rest in their wake of warmth and sleep and growing nights of harvest fields and cupboards full to join the trees and wait to breathe of life's rebirth, to spring awake. End poem. All right. Pam, could you start us off, please?
Absolutely. I have to say, I always appreciate and enjoy the way oftentimes Daniel's poetry has a certain sense of philosophy that goes throughout his writes. And I see it in this one, in the whole idea of being part of the energy that surrounds us all. And I really like how he puts fatigue, that gift of peace within the gift of life, that, you know, sometimes we get upset at ourselves because we get tired and we feel like we should be able to have all the energy we need to get everything done. But, you know, it's so important to be able to just slow down and appreciate life and appreciate the beautiful colors and the gifts that nature has to offer. And I really like the use of the phrase hypnotic shades, because there is something about the way leaves dance. even when they're like all green, that create the shadow and light. And then I think hypnotic was a perfect word for that. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And I like what you said about the way he writes. Because instead of speaking of a brilliant sun, for instance, that shines down and helps things grow, how does he refer to the sun as the energy of the sky? Now, that may not be a big deal, but to me, it's a beautiful way of referring to the sun. But he writes deeply, too. That stanza, the third one, but his duality is rhythm, and rhythm is life. All those awaken at some point sleep. The contrast between being awake and being asleep, leaving something in between, perhaps the lullaby from the breath of Mother Earth, which again is beautiful phrasing, I thought. No, he did himself proud with this piece. It's a great piece. And Jean, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I thought it was a lovely piece. I think it's full of wonderful thoughts and harvest, you know, harvest being upon us, you know, the cupboards being full and, you know, and with that comes its own visuals, at least from my perspective. Because when I picture, you know, all that canning, I picture different colors up on the shelf that go along with the colors of the leaves, you know, as they're all falling through the season. And I think his imagery was just spot on this, and I really enjoyed it very much. And thank you, Dan. Good to have your piece on the show. Absolutely. Okay. Well, I guess I have to move to the next one. I don't know what it is. Okay, Thomas, I have one for you. I'm going to put this one. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Forgotten Messages by J.C. Anderson. The melody of the piper, lurid and cruel, crawls over twisted trials. Yeah, let me start that again. The melody of the piper, lurid and cruel, crawls over twisted trails, sprawling through a mishmash of half-blown dandelion puffs, concealed barbed thorns, and patches of yellow weeds. Broken moments of bitter shade below naked towering trees, peripheral stirrings alert the soul of a black cat, its toothy grimace crossing my path, and it always seems to linger, which explains these feelings. Skipping beneath abandoned ladders, I'm too tired to climb, walking softly on the shattered mirror that glitters in the evening sun, knowing my slippery feet sparkle as I shiver, picking at the slivers, alone where the shadows creep, tumbling over crumbled concrete. Stepping on the cracks, avoiding sour sexual favors, watching the sun sink low, pissing burnt orange and seeping blood red, slipping beneath darkness with sunburnt eyes. She was always sexier, painted in moonlight. But does it really matter? When you finally reach the end, twilight smiling madly, the moon prescribes 2 shots of cheap tequila and a half joint of blue diesel. It's easy to fall when you get so high. And I wonder if this apathy is worse than the pain. Just to set yourself free to navigate lost dreams, washed up on silver shores, found within wishless stars, like empty wine bottles adrift with forgotten messages. End poem.
Well read, Tom. Nice job. This is not your average fall poem. He goes places that require some interpretation in a way that most autumn poems don't, because he doesn't neglect the ugly or the bitter or the old or the tired. Those are all in here. And what a lovely way to start. The melody of the piper, and of course we know automatically it's like the Pied Piper, so we have a melody that draws us, but he describes it as lurid and cruel, crawling over twisted trails. Where that melody leads is not always the nicest place. Broken moments of bitter shade is a great phrase as well. In fact, this is filled with beautiful phrasing. Stepping on all the cracks, avoiding sour sexual favors, watch the sun sink low, pissing burnt orange and seeping blood red. You want to talk about emotion in lines, the strong visions that words can create. Well, boy, he's doing it with this. It's really a very special fall poem, not one that I've read the like of before when it comes to dealing with autumn, because it deals with so much more than autumn. It deals with apathy, it deals with pain, it deals with almost the psychedelia of imagery. It's quite a special piece. Could you comment next, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I like you. I enjoyed the opening. The half-blown dandelion puffs almost speak of a summer that didn't quite get finished. The concealed barbed thorns and patches of yellow weeds, of things not being quite as happy at the end of summer as one might like. And again, the broken moments of bitter shade, that's a great phrase. Below naked towering trees. Then his whole play with being so spiteful and angry at things not being quite as beautiful as you wanted them to be, that you play this game of spitting in the face of all the different superstitions that lie about. And then when you finally get to what's driving him crazy, does it really matter when you finally reach the end? Because she was always sexier, painted in moonlight. And that last part where he just sort of goes, none of it really mattered, because in the end, the only way I can survive is by saying she doesn't matter. And really beautifully done.
Thank you, Thomas. Very nice. And Ms. Pamela, your turn.
Yeah, I really like that J.C. took a different approach with this. I like that it works almost like an extended metaphor that looks back on memories that are both dark and beautiful. And there seems to be almost this idea of the struggles of addiction and the struggles of depression. And there's a real sense of almost like disappointment that makes the right dark and haunting. And I like that he goes and he uses the colors of fall, but he does use them in such a dark and visceral way. It's a beautiful and creative write and very well done.
And a beautiful and creative comment as well. Thank you, Pam. Jean, the mic is yours.
Yeah. I like this poem. I really did, by J.C. Trying to plug in the title to where I want it to be, but you know, the melody of the piper. What I kind of got from the piper was we all have to pay the piper from time to time. And I guess, you know, that stuck into my mind when I was reading, because it was like, you know, you're paying the piper, you know, loosening cruel crawls over twisted trails. You know, and it goes on, and then it gets into broken moments of bitter shade below naked towering trees. You know, toothy grimace, you know, for the cat. But the black cat is a symbol of bad luck. And then there's broken mirrors and all these things. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, destined to fail, I guess, is what the feeling I got from the poem. And not necessarily that I believe in all those terrible things. Good Lord, if I might never get out of the hole with all the mirrors and things I've broken. So let's just do it. But I think that it was intriguing, because that's where my mind kept going, to all these, you know, different bits and pieces. And then, you know, stepping on all the cracks of wooden sour sexual favors. Watch the sun sink low, picking burnt orange. I'm like, wow, okay. So we get into the colors of water. And, you know, he throws that out there, and he makes it, it's like a punch. You know, like a real punch where you know, you can't help but look and see it. And then she was always sexier painted in moonlight. But then he goes on, you know, but does it really matter when you finally reach the end? Twilight, you know, smiling madly, the moon prescribes two shots of cheap tequila. You know, I don't know. I just think that it was really intriguing all the way through. And it was like a really unusual take for what you would say is an autumn poem. But well done, to, you know, to say the least. I mean, you know, a lot of times people will associate autumn with the coming of winter, which is an ending. You know, and autumn is like that place right before everything starts to end. And, you know, I don't know if that was supposed to be part of this, or maybe it's just my imagination. That's been said before, but I think that JC really did an excellent job. And thanks for the novel and intriguing piece, JC. Mm-hmm. I guess I need another poem now, huh? I know that's what you want to tell me. Yeah. Thanks, Thomas. Somebody's got to keep me straight around here. Okay, here we go. I have a piece by Martha Gettle. And let's put that up in the room. And I have a campfire for that. So, let me see. Get that one. Here it is. Here we go.
To Be Reborn by Martha Gettle. In my heart I know that the leaves die, but the colors are so pleasing to the eye. The reds, the golds, all colors in between are like memories from a vibrant dream. The green of leaves when first emerged is like all that's bad from the tree is purged. The green of buds when they first swell are the first signs that life in it still dwells. As a child I'd often check the tree. I just couldn't see how alive it'd be. But Mama said, now, girl, you know, come spring that tree is going to grow. And as spring it warmed the air, I could see new life growing there. The tree put on new clothes for spring. To me it was a marvelous thing. As I have lived, I've come to see what a true treasure it would be. Have brand new clothes just appear. Magically remove the stain of the past year. But that is not the way of this world. No new clothes are for us unfurled. So we must live our lives along the way to avoid the regrets of yesterday. The colors, the smell of the coming fall. In my heart I do so love it all. When nature removes old clothes forlorn, and waits at last to be reborn. End of poem.
Lovely piece, Martha.
Well, that's the system did not like that SoundCloud if anybody was getting as much static as I was getting. But it was still easy to hear. Yeah, it was nice. Let's see. Let's start. Can we start with Pam, please?
Absolutely. I really like this. I mean, because it doesn't just celebrate the colors of the season, but it gives us a reminder that life is filled with cycles of birth and death, and then touches on the beauty and joy of the rebirth that happens in the spring. And I like how she has the nostalgic touch to it with that stanza that says, as a child, I'd often check the tree. And then I really like where it says, as I have lived, I've come to see what the true treasure it would be. Just the wonderful lines all the way through and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Tom, please.
Yeah, I found myself reflecting this poem against Daniel DeShima's poem, because whereas Dan took a philosophical stance and went and almost imagined himself as being the world and the trees being reborn and dealing with autumn, she takes a philosophical stance that comes from almost that of a small child. As she said, as a child, I'd often check the tree, and talks about it. It's spring almost as much as fall, as if the cycles were so important, and seeing life both begin and end, and the beauty of one was reflected in the beauty of the other. And then making it very personal and talking about how I could, you know, it would be wonderful if we all just had our clothes come and go as the seasons turn. Think of all the ways we'd be safe from fashion. And be able to delight in everything, and then sort of passes that off as just sort of the mystical wonder and joy of being a human being and thinking about the world, and turns back to fall in the end and tells us that she does love it so, but nature removes old clothes forlorn and waits at last to be reborn. I just thought it was a really stunning piece in the way she played across a whole array of different kinds of thinking about the way we're affected by the changes of time and the seasons as they move past us.
Wow, you and Pam gave great commentary on this poem. I hate to add in my few small passing comments without duplicating yours. Two things about this piece that I really like. The introduction of a girl who couldn't see how the tree could be alive. But she learned that new life would grow again. And then in that penultimate stanza, which you mentioned, Tom, no new clothes are for us unfurled, so we must live our lives along the way to avoid the regrets of yesterday. You know, as you said, the trees can shed their clothing, and they're reborn every spring, and we don't have that ability, but what we do have is the ability to be reborn emotionally, to grow with wisdom, to look at the past and learn where we went wrong. And, you know, that's hinted at in the lines, we must live our lives along the way to avoid the regrets of yesterday. So I like that he combined that along with nature and its new spring clothing and the old forlorn clothes. Nicely done. And Jean.
You know, I really love this piece. And there was something in there that Martha just didn't put it in everybody's face. But I have to say that I love the element of faith in this piece. I don't know whether it was the way she read it, her voice, or the poem itself, but all I got from it was this wonderful element of faith. You know, having faith that in the spring, this tree will grow. And you know, I don't know. That's exactly what I took from it. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was sweet. I thought it was, there was a touch of innocence to it. And I really liked it. And I want to thank you, Martha, for putting it in here, because I thought it was really something. So, nice job. Made me smile. Absolutely. And just so everybody knows, I'm hearing static, but I'm not hearing it at any, I'm hearing it everywhere. Little bits and pieces here, little bits and pieces there. So I don't know if it's someone's phone line or not, so don't be offended if you, I kind of mute you for a minute just to figure out if that stops it or not, because I don't know what to think. I mean, I'm hearing it now while I talk, so. Okay, I'm going to put the next one up, but I'm going to read this one because I got something else for Sam to read, and I'm going to run a SoundCloud in between. So that's the way we're going to do this one. This one is by Garden for Life.
Presaging the future.
Autumn Fire by Garden for Life. Coral blushes on the horizon, announced sunrise, rousing a sleepy world. An ethereal glow hovers over morning mist. The forest set afire by autumn's artistic brush. Leaves of gold, crimson, saffron, peach, vaulting from tree to tree, igniting their neighbor, then moving on. Are you somewhere close, wading through stacks of graham cracker crisp foliage, letting yourself collapse, sinking into mountains of leafy fallen stars, sipping hot apple cider, missing birdsong libations, echoing my memories. I look forward to feathery sounds of exuberant splashing in the bird bath once again. For now, summer's breath sighs, company to a departing breeze, promising she'll visit next year. Will you? And home.
Thanks. A great read there, Jean. That was nice. That was nice.
Thank you.
Tom, could you start, please?
Okay. I like how she captures a whole lot of colors in just the phrase coral blushes on the horizon. And takes that colors of sunrise and turns it into the forest of fire by autumn's artistic brush. Before she ever gets into all the colors, she already has us thinking richness and thinking of all the ways that things come ablaze. I'm falling in love with Garden Delight's poetry, by the way. The more I hear it, the more I go, I'll put her on my list of favorites, because I really find her delightful in the way that she sees the universe and how she almost takes it on as if it's something that she wants to be and can see nothing else but to be part of it all. And letting yourself collapse into mountains of leafy fallen stars, sipping hot apple cider. That's a wonderful way to talk about piles of leaves and all the things that make fall so wonderful. I was delighted at this, and when we got to the end, for some reason, the will you was just so perfectly fitting that I just was like, yes, I agree. And I'm delighted, because I am. This was a truly delightful piece.
Thanks, Tom. Great comment. I was especially taken, well, like you, I enjoyed the different colors that we saw. Coral, crimson, saffron, peach, not the normal red and gold, etc. And I also like that particular stanza, vaulting from tree to tree, igniting their neighbor, then moving on. The image that gives me is the image from Fantasia. I forget exactly which, perhaps the first or the second, no, at least the second or the third movements in that wonderful movie, when you have the fairy waving the wand and the color creeps from leaf to leaf, from plant to plant, the frost, the colors of autumn, and then the frost does exactly the same thing, kind of vaulting from tree to tree, from leaf to leaf, and then moving on. So I thought that image was really, really well drawn. And I enjoyed the poem as a whole. Pam, your comment, please.
Yeah, I have to agree with both you and Tom. I mean, she just has such beautiful use of imagery, and I did like too that she threw in those different colors like saffron and peach. I also like the way she describes things in like very creative ways, like graham cracker crisp foliage, and then that she brings in not only the way things look, but also the whole idea of sipping hot apple cider. I just think that sounds, you know, absolutely delightful. And I like that she's looking back on the things that she misses about summer and spring, like the splashing of the birds in the bird bath, but that she also knows that there's things to appreciate about autumn. So beautifully expressed and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. Nicely said. Jean Marie.
Okay, well, I had a whole thing typed up here, and I was so happy with myself, and Pam just took it all out from under me. But I thought it was a great use of colors, and I very much enjoyed it. I did like the two stanzas. Are you somewhere close, waiting through stacks of graham cracker crisp foliage, letting yourself collapse, sinking into mountains of leafy fallen stars, sipping hot apple cider? I thought those two stanzas were very cool. It just added a whole different layer to the poem itself, and I stepped outside of just autumn imagery and kind of, you know, hot apple cider and you know, just it just drew it in more, you know, it just came from a different angle and I thought it was perfect. So really well done, and thank you so much for sharing this with us. Yeah, did I hit the button? If I don't, it won't be any good. Okay. So now, what am I doing? If anybody knew that, it'd be worth a million. Okay. My next magic trick.
Voila.
Okay. Eric Svensson's piece. I'm going to put up the words. I'm going to click the button for the audio. And here we go.
Syncopation. Senses synchronize. Swift lift. Tilt of Vivaldi's autumn. Gutsy violence. Canter towards fluttering Cambridge. Maple leaves allegro, lovers' last kisses cling. Crimson and carmine calls. Eric Satie paints Paris in musical pigments. Filtered light ignites lurid leaves. Carnelian and cornelians abdicate, satiated by intimate summer nights in Montmartre garret apartment. Russet red flares up. Rudolf Nureyev desperately seeks asylum. White crow rages against demise. Ruby wine tears stain petticoats. Black cherry tree trunks stand butlers. Sturdy, bitter chocolate fate smudges the remains of the day. Vogue words ignite syncopation. Autumn in Paris, brackenish sepia, tortoiseshell, mushroomy buff, peach-tinted parchment, caramelized bronze, honeyed old gold. Summer's warmth gradually departs like satiated lovers. Frank Sinatra's voice placates. Autumn leaves fall outside the window. Unbearable lightness of being brokers, a peace accord. Foliage kaleidoscope curtails passion's pigments. Intuitive nature leaves promissory notes as a worthy matron would. Autumn in Paris next year. I'll walk on with Hungarian poet Endre Ade to where the Seine flows by. Little twigs, songs burn softly in my heart. Smoky, odd, somber, purple songs. I think they sigh that I shall die. End poem.
Well, I never quite know what to say about a poem like this. It's dramatically beautiful. It paints exquisite pictures. The city of lights in autumn. The references that he makes to people and to places, each of which have meaning in their mention. For instance, the Vivaldi's autumn. Anyone who knows that music knows how wonderful that whole score is, the four seasons. And he gives it a mention. And every stanza contains more and more and more. And, some of them you get right off the bat. Others kind of flit by, but they're appealing. And then you come to the end of it, and what is there to say after you've read something like this? You almost don't want to say anything. You just want to sit there and absorb the mood that the poem gifted us. So I think I'm going to do that, and I'm going to call on Pam to comment.
Oh, I have to agree with you. You know, like, there are times when I read Eric's poetry, and I feel like it's a painting, but parts of the painting have like, black electrical tape put over them. And I don't know what's underneath the tape. You know, but like for instance, with this one, I really like and I understand the reference to Satie and to Frank Sinatra, but I don't know the poetry of Andre Addy. I don't know who Rudolf Nureyev is. I'm not even pronouncing the name right. Yeah, but I don't mind that because it still gives me plenty of food for thought. One of the things I really appreciate and enjoy about this is the fact that he uses different colors, like mushroomy buff, caramelized bronze, the ruby wine tear stained petticoat, black cherry tree trunk stand, butler sturdy. I like the description of the trees as standing like those sturdy butlers, always ready to serve and be of help. And, I just absolutely think he has some of the most creative imagery. And another part I really liked and found myself drawn to was the line, "Bitter chocolate fate smudges the remains of the day." I couldn't help but think, and I'm probably not the only one, of being a young child and sneaking that taste of baking chocolate from my grandmother's, shelves, only to realize how absolutely horrible baking chocolate is. even with the pieces of tape, in some spots, I always just adore and appreciate Eric's writing. It's very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I think we have all of us at some point in our lives experienced baking chocolate. In exactly the same way. Thomas, your comment, please.
Well, the one thing I will say about Eric, he doesn't borrow references. He steals them and turns them into something new in the moment. I mean, the description, the swift lift tilt of Vivaldi's autumn, gutsy violins canter towards fluttering gambage, which is a term used by, the people who make prescriptions, pharmacists. And is considered to be a transparent deep saffron to mustard yellow pigment, the traditional color of saffron robes for Buddhists. Who else but Eric would think of that word? I've never heard of it before. And maple leaves allegro. I can't even get out of the first verse without just going over a whole lot of things. I can hear Frank Sinatra singing, "I love Paris in the autumn. I love Paris in the fall." The unbearable lightness of being. I know the book. I know the movie. And all of a sudden, that whole verse just splits open. open into a thousand different meanings. Because I know the song where they use Frank Sinatra singing "I Love Paris," the whole thing just so that you get that intuitive nature, leaves promissory notes as a worthy matron would. What a wonderful way to describe fall and the promise of spring to come. And I could just go on. You can get lost in the sea of imagery, meanings, references, and the way they tangle, mold together, and split apart and become their own statements. From the dancing Nureyev, who is known for his beautiful leaps. I could go on. I will stop. But this is probably, to me, one of his most stunning pieces. I really love this one.
I can't disagree with you at all. I do think it is one of his better pieces. And you know what? He delivers them in a voice that I find absolutely compelling. Great stuff. Jean, your comment.
Well, I think it was a wonderful picture painted throughout, and I think that it was a beautifully choreographed piece. All the different arts, you pulled them all together in such a beautiful fashion. And I thought it was fabulous work. So way to go, Eric, and thank you so, so much. This was really an excellent piece, and I appreciate it most definitely. Okay, Pam, that's going to bring me to you. Here we go.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. This is Autumn Whispers Adieu by Sapphire Rose, and it goes like this. Forest whispers of seasonal change to the wind as it caresses what foliage remains. Radiant reds and golden brown leaves strewn over water-soaked rocks, autumn's farewell depiction. Wrapping my arms around my core, beholding the vibrancy of the expanse of natural artistry unfold display. White cotton warms my skin as the sun moves away, cascading just below the blazing herbage, immersing myself in the musical undertones of crunching leaves underfoot. As autumn comes to a close, frosty weather takes its place, whispering incantations only the dawn of winter can hear. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. Thank you. And Tom, could you start us off, please?
I really like the opening line. From the title, Autumn Whispers Adieu, we get forest whispers of seasonal change to the wind as it caresses what foliage remains. She catches, I also like the way she catches that the leaves are not always there completely full on each tree, but they have already started falling away so that you have more branches revealed. And the way she holds herself in this and becomes part of it, so that when you get to that last line, autumn comes to a close, frosty weather takes its place, whispering incantations only the dawn of winter can hear. It's a beautiful adieu to the fall that was. I rather a lovely piece.
Well, I've got to say, I had a list of 8 things that I was going to mention, and you mentioned every darn one of them. Now I don't know what to do.
Good. You've done it to me in the
I can't make up anything. And I'm not going to repeat what you said. I will simply say that it's a gorgeous piece. Sapphire Rose writes beautiful poetry. This one is especially beautiful. Autumn whispers at you. Jean, let's go to you next. What did you think?
Well, I think this was an incredibly penned piece. And I thought the imagery was just beautiful. It wasn't a very long piece, and I think most of Sapphire's pieces that I've read have been longer, which is nice. But I do like the imagery and the use of colors, and you know, her descriptions are always, you know, wonderful. So, yeah, I really think that this was another top-notch piece. So thank you so much, Sapphire Rose, for sharing with us tonight. Great job. Much enjoyed it. Okay. Pam, did you want to comment on this piece? Or did you?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. And I especially was drawn to the parts where she mentions the crunching of the leaves and wearing the cotton sweater, you know, and then the whole idea that the magic and beauty of the changing of the seasons. So excellent write and very well done.
I didn't mean to skip you, Pam. I was coughing, so Jean picked up the slack.
Oh, no problem. I thought nothing of it.
Okay.
I think because you guys are a great team.
I don't believe a word of it, Pam. Don't pay him any attention. Okay, whatever. Y'all want to be temperamental, then be that way. Well, I think Tom misunderstands me. It's okay. Okay, Laurent, are you done coughing?
Yes, ma'am.
Start reading.
Good thing. You're up next. There you go. Whenever you're ready.
So there.
All right. This is called Tumbling Together Like Leaves. I remember an evening of new breezes, leaves flourishing in flight, swirling the footpaths in a brightly colored patchwork, calling loudly to little boys and dogs. Come, run with us, sang the golden orange. Run with them, I did. We did, the gang of us, wild in the night, filled with Halloween's freedom close by, Thanksgiving and Christmas beckoning green and bright from every pine. Holiday beacons we anchored ourselves to the nanoseconds our flighted passage took to pass these somber countenances of two wise fur. 12 is a good age to be. Angst of teen years lies ahead, unheralded and mysterious. We were little children in larger bodies, and we flew like arrows, faster than ever down familiar paths. No possibilities too fantastic. Nothing was ever out of reach then. Not the branches we gripped and swung from like boyish apes, chasing each other's whirlwinds, tripping on roots, smelling the hummus we lay upon so briefly, rising, sprinting, panting, destroying shadows and spider webs with our clawed passage to open sky. Small masters wreathed in frosty clouds of breath, we shot outwards like dragon's flame. There was no world like ours that year, that month, that night. A one-off without repetition, gleaming brightly in memory as I watch my grandchildren run down those same corridors of youth, tumbling together like leaves in a generational dance for the ages. End poem.
Okay, Pam, you want to start us off on this one?
Oh, absolutely. I just think this whole poem is beautiful and heartfelt. I love the way that you bring us back to 12 years old and such a time of joy and innocence and just the idea of really appreciating and celebrating the season and this kind of idea of friendship and family. And then I like that you bring us forward to watching the grandchildren, you know, gleaming brightly in memory as I watch my grandchildren run down those same corridors of youth, tumbling together like leaves in a generational dance for the ages. I think to me this is just such not only a celebration of the seasons, but a celebration of family, and it's a beautiful, heartfelt rite.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
Nice, Pam. Thomas, how about you?
I like the way the second verse begins with, come run with us, sang the golden orange, run with them I did, because it invites the reader to join you in the rampage through the autumn that we all, I don't know if everyone did, but I know I did experience at various points in my youth with nephews or cousins, in madness and mayhem. all the way up through Halloween, which terrified me when I was small, where I was a terror as I got older. All the joys in that, and the joys of racing through leaves and smashing branches and playing Superman, you catch it all really, really well. And the magic of it is never forgotten. It just can never be anything more than a memory after the first wild rush. And you catch that well, too. I thought this was a quite stunning piece, Laurent.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Okay, well, Lauren, I thought this was wonderful the first time I read it, and I feel the same way tonight. I love how you, you know, you captured the moments of youth and, you know, shared them in this penning. But then, it's like Pam said, you know, you turned it around. You took it from a personal 12-year-old experience and rolled it into watching your grandkids. And I think that that is what made the piece so spectacular and, you know, so really well done. I think that's really what captivated me the most in it, is seeing, you know, the different changes there. Okay.
Thank you, Jean.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Now, next, Thomas, I have your piece up.
Oh, surprise, surprise, surprise.
Okay, give me a second. Give me a second. Gosh, I had just had it.
Well, while you're finding it, I will wait.
There we go. Whenever you're ready, Thomas, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Recording changes. If we shed memories like leaves as each season of our life came to pass, then would we find a way to save them in books pressed between letters noting sorrow, laugh, or love? Perhaps we would find a way to let them all fall away to be gathered for compost to add to the richness we would want in our later years, keeping only those truly sweet moments so divine, their colors caught in rhyme, and we, poets, would find a way to use them to brighten dull days. As it is, we watch the green-gray hills deepen to red, drive our cars through wooded mountainsides, letting all of autumn's parade of the year well spent fill our eyes with the grandeur of its passing salute. Cast our eyes from some roadway lookout upon the quilt of wonder that flows below, the raspberry, golden plum, and water-colored flow, dancing along the edge of reaped wheat and grasses as fall brings color only dreams have held to nature's wonder. Looking out on the valley below, knowing the white blankets to come, the icicles tracing pillars barring windows as children race for slopes to sled. I let the brief month when colors flourish feed my soul, watch in silence as the breeze blows and a scattering of leaves sail, flutter and spiral their way to the earth. Soon enough, the rakes will be unlimbered, flowers hum as we unblanket our lawns of fall's glory. Until then, we delight in the cool relief from summer flames, get things ready for the fires that will burn within as we chop wood, lay down mulch, fill the bird feeders. I've raked away so many memories together. The laughter of my children playing in them leaves me feeling warm and knowing life is good.
Mm-hmm.
End poem.
Nice work, Thomas.
Bravo, Thomas. Well read. So this is, you don't write bad poetry. You write good poetry. and sometimes it elevates itself a little bit beyond the normal just good into something a little special. and I can feel that in this particular piece. You know exactly how to point out relatable elements. For instance, cast our eyes from some roadway lookout upon the quilt of wonder that flows below, the raspberry, golden, plum, and watercolored flow dancing along the edge of reaped wheat and grasses. As fall brings colors, only dreams have held to nature's wonder. That is so well phrased, that bit about dreams and nature's wonder. It's really pretty spectacular. I love the entire first stanza, especially the first couple of lines. We shed memories like leaves as each season of our life came to pass. Then would we find a way to save them in books? It's such a delightful question, a delightful piece. Really appreciated this one, Tom. Nice job.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
And I like the way you ended it with your children as well, the laughter of my children playing in them, in the leaves. That was nice. Pam, please.
Oh, I think this is just absolutely a beautiful and brilliant write. I, too, like that you brought in your children at the end. I like how in the ending stanza you mentioned that soon enough you'll all be raking and blowing the leaves, and for now you're just appreciating the moment, the beauty of the colors on the trees, the cool air, you know, and just wonderful imagery throughout. I do like that first stanza, too. Their colors con rhyme and repose to find a way to use them to brighten dull days. How very true. They truly are inspirational to look at those colors, to look at family, and just take a moment to take a deep breath. And that's what I feel like a lot of this poem is just, you know, taking a moment to take that deep breath. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean?
Well, I don't know where to begin because it's just a lot to, well, if I wanted to, I probably could address a whole lot, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say Sam. Tom, I think that there was great imagery throughout this. That goes without question. I think you painted pictures one by one throughout this entire poem. You know, each stanza, maybe a couple in each stanza, you know, there's just different images that you've pulled together, and you can just watch them evolve and enjoy them. I thought it was a wonderful use of color. And I really, you know, that Laurent had pointed out about the laughter of my children playing in them. You know, it has a very similar quality to Laurent in that respect. And I think that that's wonderful because, you know, I watched where, you know, I've raked so many memories together. The laughter of my children playing in them leaves me feeling warm and knowing life is good. What a wonderful ending. What an uplifting and wonderful ending. Because it just lifted the spirit, you know, in those few lines. But really, really well done. So excellent work. And thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank you.
And don't tell anybody I said anything, because they won't believe it. You're like, you didn't say nothing. She never does. I do that. Okay. Now, Pam, that brings me back to us, the girls.
Oh, Silky Smoky.
You don't have one in this topic board, do you, or did I miss it?
No, I do not.
Okay. Just want to make sure I'm not skipping. Betty Page we did, correct?
Correct.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, we did that. Swan Song, we did that. Okay. Well, we go to the next one I have open is L.G. Mason. Uh-oh. Okay. Wow, I found the room and everything. This is impressive. Wow. Okay, hon, whenever you're ready.
All right. This is The Palette of a Fall Countryside by L.G. Mason. And it goes like this. With mountains, ponds, and trees of changing autumn colors of fall laid out on nature's canvas, the master of the universe catches them all, the vibrant red and oranges spanning colors, prism framed in gold, saying goodbye to the warm, sunny days of summer, welcoming the chill of autumn frost so bold, yet lost in the meadow or field, and watch all the different trees and their colors fluttering to the ground, while overhead the honkers fly in bee formation, heading south, singing their familiar song. The countryside is ablaze with color creating, a surreal rainbow all its own. Everything but the evergreens shedding their coats, making food for spring's new saplings to be sown. And so as I slowly walk along, taking all the beauty around me and keeping it stored away inside, I am transfixed by the palette of a fall countryside. End poem.
Nicely read, Pam. Nicely read. Tom, could you start us off?
I like how she immediately takes us to the mountains, pond and trees of changing autumn colors of fall. And she's really the first to see that really has talked in a strongly spiritual fashion right from the start, so that the whole thing gets this feeling of as if you're watching the master himself paint the whole scene and bringing forth all the way it dynamically sings, right down to the overhead, the honkers fly in bee formation heading south, singing their familiar song. And the surreal rainbow of all its own. I just love the way she sort of wove this all together and made it something where you needed to just stop, listen, and allow it to fill you. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Tom. I like the title that she gave this, The Palette of a Fall Countryside. With mountains, pond, and trees of changing autumn's colors of fall laid out on nature's canvas, the master of the universe catches them all. And when she references the master of the universe, I do see a master painter coloring the world with his brush, season by season. She goes through the colors and the imagery so well, flowing into that end where she says everything but the evergreens shedding their coats. And such a beautiful tree, the evergreen. Always the same color, not boring by any stretch of the imagination. I've always felt that fir trees are something special because they never seem to die. And if they shed needles, they shed them unobtrusively until a 6-inch blanket of them lies on your ground, perhaps choking your flowers, but nonetheless. And that walk in which you take in all the beauty and then you store it away inside, that's a nice thought as well. Pam, please.
This is absolutely beautiful. I have to say, this has been just such a wonderful night of poetry. And it's always interesting to me when you have a topic like autumn and you get things that people put in their poetry that are very similar. And yet, you know, like the vibrant colors of the leaves. And yet you get these little differences that tells you what grabs a person's attention about the season. Like the fact that she refers to the geese as honkers and that they fly in a V formation. You know, I don't think anybody else has mentioned geese in their poems. And yet them heading south at before winter sets in, it is really, it's such a notice, an important part of the season. I also like that she put in the evergreens, everything but the evergreens shedding their coats. You know, I thought this was just a beautiful, thoughtful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam, and I absolutely have to agree with you about the geese. I'm pretty close to the Great Lakes here, the closest one being Lake Ontario, about 30 miles away. We get flights of geese over our house all the time. And you know what? They don't fly that high. They come over very low sometimes. You can see every feather on them. You can see every feather on them. And God bless them, they haven't crapped yet. All right, Gene?
Well, I thought this was a wonderful piece. Beautifully penned. And, yeah, great job. Absolutely. So thank you, LG. I thought the imagery was great all the way through, and yeah, just nicely done. So that's what I can say there. Now, Brett, I have the next one for you.
All right.
And whenever you're ready.
That might be a while. There we go. This is called In Contemplation of Autumn, an acrostic by In Walk Bud. Iridescent leaves danced spiral pirouettes like ballerinas, nostalgically falling to the ground before the final curtain closed. Colorful patchwork quilt-covered outbuildings and sleeping gardens and needlepoint patterns of earthly fabric, transforming summer days baked in nutmeg brown with effervescent layers of brilliant color, blowing mountainous piles of papery warmth into pastoral paintings in fiery hues of red and gold. Luminous landscapes, whipping, whistling winds, awaken listless creatures with grave reminders to hunt and gather stockpiles of food before the incoming freeze of winter's bony grasp overshadows summer's bountiful harvest beneath the northeastern wind and rain that's soon approaching. Obsessive squirrels gathering falling acorns scurry, chattering furiously, or stuffing fat silky cheeks like lumpy pillows, as naked trees wave bare branches like gnarled fingers, signaling unexpected warnings of lightning flash, skies rumbling, an angry thunderstorm, soon drenching the parched earth in unabated streams of freezing dampness. After the storm, misty moonlight's pearly rays shine down beneath the cold night air of a frosty Milky Way smile. End poem. I like this piece a lot. Acrostics can be difficult to deal with. They do change the rhythm in which we write. For instance, there are long sentences in this particular piece, and they don't end at line's end. They continue and continue and continue, which gives it a different rhythm, perhaps, to her words, different from what she normally writes. Again, it's because it's an acrostic, but I thought that she handled it very, very well, because it does flow in its own way, and she uses the words in such a way that you don't notice that it's written to be an acrostic, so to speak. As a matter of fact, I haven't even figured out the acrostic yet, but I do know that
it's
I like
Contemplation of Autumn.
Yeah. Well, Tom, go ahead and give me a comment, please. Tom, would you comment, please?
Oh, I like that. I like that first pair of lines talking about the leaves and how they fall, because that's the first time anybody's really taken time to really trace the path of a leaf to the ground and speak to it so eloquently. I enjoyed the way she took the fall and turned it almost into a cooking lesson in some ways. I mean, I like the transforming summer days baked in nutmeg brown with effervescent layers of brilliant color blowing mountain piles of papery warmth. It's very sensuous in its own way, and at the same time full of its own sort of magical energy, so that by the time I got to the end, I was quite caught up in sort of this feeling of a joyous celebration of all that autumn could bring. I mean, that last line, night air of a frosty Milky Way smile, just a nice way to end everything. I was quite impressed, especially since it is an acrostic. And normally the acrostic part runs over the rest of the poem. And in this, I really didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. Pam, could you comment, please?
Absolutely. I have to say kudos to her for taking on the challenge of doing an acrostic with the phrase in contemplation of autumn. I thought that was just wonderfully clever. She's got some beautiful alliteration here with luminous landscapes whipping whistling winds. And the imagery all the way through is wonderful, and I like how it just right touches on not only the beauty of autumn, but the power of it, like lines like unexpected warnings of lightning, flesh, skies, rumbling, and angry thunderstorms soon drenching the parched earth. Wonderful right all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, if you would.
Well, I have to say, I think Bud did a fabulous job with this. The fact that she did an acrostic, okay, that doesn't look anything like an acrostic. I love that. Her sentences aren't just a sentence. It was just really well done. I thought it was well constructed. I think that it was beautiful, and I loved her imagery throughout. And yeah, I mean, incredible acrostic. And I'm with you, Pam. You know, to take on the contemplation of autumn as the acrostic, you know, runner, that was pretty impressive, I have to say, because that was a lot of letters. But really, really well done, Bud. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Now, that brings me to Thomas. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you this one here by Jaskaran. And put it up. And whenever you're ready, Tom.
Okay. Life of a Tree by Jaskaran. On Shepherd Winds with the same destination, seeds land side by side. A quivering seed stands there completely naked, waiting for winter. With the arrival of dawn, of autumn, it wraps itself in myriad shades of rain-washed green shoots, slips, flounces, sleeves with pink and white blossom, derobes audaciously, skirts of daffodil and primrose swaying like Russian soldiers on parade, then waltz with dragonflies and hummingbirds singing out the fading day. Blowing from the west, fallen leaves gather in the east. The sweet souls behold them and fill their garden of life with happiness, sharing the secrets of silent woods with misty haze dew, casting white shadows. Waves roll the downtrodden leaves, they drift in tranquil breath. In deep waters embrace, float where water decides, faith believes in us beyond twisted trees of doubt. The sun keeps shining. And
that was a beautiful read. Thank you so much, Tom. And Jean, I got to ask you a favor here. My phone is beeping at me softly. It's about to die. I'm going to have to ask you to take over comments, please.
Okay. Pam, can I get you to start us off with this one, please?
Absolutely. I just think this is amazing. I like how he starts the idea of on separate winds with the same destination, seeds lay side by side, quivering seed stands there, set completely naked, waiting for winter. And with that opening, he reminds us that these big, beautiful trees that we've been, you know, celebrating with poetry all evening come from a tiny seed. And he just has such a beautiful use of imagery all the way through. I especially like what it says, rain wash, green shoots, slips, blouses, sleeve with pink and white blossoms, derobes audaciously, a wonderful use of the word audaciously. Just a beautiful writing, very well done.
Thanks, comment, Pam. And Thomas, I know you read it, but can you comment on it?
Yeah, happily. I thought this started in a way that made you stop, especially since this is about autumn, and think for a moment. And yet, so much of what's going on in autumn and in spring is about the leaves going through the seasons of their life. And I love the way that he brought the seeds to earth and stands there completely naked waiting for winter. And with the arrival of dawn of autumn, it wraps itself in myriad shades. And then he just goes off on what to me is like a stunning painting. I could see it in front of me at all the different colors and plants and insects and hummingbirds. That was just beautiful. And then when he finally does give us autumn, blowing from the west, fallen leaves gather in the east, he does it in a way that makes it feel like more of the life of a tree until finally we're left with where water decides faith leaves in us beyond twisted trees of doubt. The sun keeps shining. That is such a deeply spiritual phrase that it's almost as if he's reading it above the grave. Really stunning piece when you really stop and look at all he's accomplished in here.
Wonderful. Nice comment, Tom. Yeah, I think that Jess Grand did a nice job with this piece. And, you know, I always catch myself because I realize we have people from all around the globe. And I believe he's in India, Jess Grand. And I don't know what the seasons are in India. Do they have autumn like we do? I mean, I don't know.
It depends on where you are in India because it's not. In the northern parts, yeah, they do have their own kind of autumn. Most of the southern is too tropical.
Gotcha. Because when I looked at it, I'm like, well, geez, I don't even know if he has, like, autumn per se. And I thought, well, why not take the life of the tree, right? I assume that somehow that the trees go through a renewal period the same as they do here. But I thought it was clever, and I thought it was well done. Nicely written. And I like Jess Grand's work. He tends to have something nicely written and enjoyable as well. So I'm happy that he shared with us again tonight, and I appreciate it. And it seems like it's a little late for Laurent to call back. I have 6 minutes, so I'm going to try and run my last audio for tonight. So if you all bear with me, here we go.
We always do.
I know, you all put up with me so much. You're so good. Smartass. I'm going to get you later, Thomas.
That's what I've been threatened like that my entire life. It just comes in my
footsteps. Too funny. Okay, so I'm going to hit this button for Captain B2. Enjoy.
Mabon's Equinox. Plump. When nature's cycles come to bear, as the changing seasons chill the air, the wheel of the year continues to turn. The months must pass for warmth's return. Today, light and dark are of balanced length. They share the hours in equal strength. Soon, warmth and light begin to pale. Then night and darkness will prevail. Come shorter days and longer night, we mourn the dwindling of the light. Trees will turn to red, orange, and gold as we prepare for darkness, long and cold. But before tree sap ceases to flow and frigid winds begin to blow, pile high the branches, light the blazes, all join in chanting Maybon's praises. The Maybon blessings will abound as Wiccan spirits gather round. Watch carefully. Don't look askance. Glimpse shades of ancient pagans dance. The bonfires cast shadows long on rites and rituals and harvest song. Decorate homes with wheat, apple, and gourd. Give thanks for harvest's rich reward. Time to turn back all the clocks and celebrate Maybon's equinox with gratitude to Mother Earth, waiting patiently for vernal rebirth. End poem. Author's note. Maybon is the holiday of the autumnal equinox, harvest home, or the feast of the ingathering. It's a modern pagan ritual of thanksgiving for the fruits of the earth and a recognition of the need to share them to secure the blessings of the goddess and the gods during the coming winter months. The wheel of the year is an annual cycle of seasonal festivals observed by many modern pagans, consisting of the year's chief solar events, solstices and equinoxes, and midpoints between them. While the names for each festival vary among diverse pagan traditions, syncretic treatments often refer to the four solar events as quarter days and the four midpoint events as cross quarter days, particularly in Wiccan. End author's note.
Okay. And Pam, you want to start us off?
Absolutely. I thought this was really a beautiful poem, a nice rhyme and flow. I like that she went into the idea of celebrating the season and not just the beauty of it with the colors, but that she mentions the apples and the gourds and the, I really like the bonfires cast shadows along on rites and rituals and harvest songs. I like that she brought the imagery of the bonfire and the idea of celebrating with music and appreciating the bounty of the harvest. So wonderful write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Thomas, how about you?
Yeah, I too like the fact that she took the autumn season and rather than speaking of the changing trees and all the leaves, instead spoke to the rituals that, at least one of the rituals, that surround the shifting seasons, because so many of these rituals are based in the idea that if we celebrate now and give thanks now, then spring will be here in a timely way. Excuse me. In a timely way, it serves us and lets us plan for the future. So even in the fall, they're thinking of the seasons to come and giving thanks. And I like the way she caught that. And I can just stop. I'm losing my voice.
Okay. Those are all right, Tom.
I was just dealing with drugs. I got high blood pressure. So it's...
Yeah, me too. I get it.
The stuff I'm on just destroys my throat. I got to go get a... Well, I should be back.
Okay, sir. Well, I think this was a beautiful piece by B2. Very well done, full of wonderful imagery, and always a lesson to be learned, you know, always teaching something. with all the information that's packed in here. And just a beautiful write and really well done, and well, the audio was great. And thank you very much for sharing with us. Absolutely. And let me see now. I think it's 12 o'clock, so the party's over. My carriage is going to turn into a pumpkin. It's probably my office chair turn right into a pumpkin. That could hurt. My glass slippers will have vanished back to tattered rags. You know, just saying. It kind of fit the fall theme. Want to let everybody know. And I quoted from Thomas. But, Pam, I want to thank you for co-hosting with me. Laurent, I want to thank you very much for running comments. Thanks for saving the day at the beginning of the show, you guys. God, I was shaking my head like, here we go again. Thomas, thank you for sitting in with us all night. It's always a pleasure to have you join us. We have After Midnight with the Midnight Bomber. Actually, I don't think that's what it says. But anyway, Midnight Bomber, you know, Neutron Bomb and Captain B2 on the After Midnight show. Let's put it that way. And I will definitely recommend joining the crowd there. Pam, is there anything I need to say that I forgot? Because God knows I probably forgot.
Not that I can think of. Awesome show tonight,
okay.
Phil.
Thanks, and you too. And I'll carry the carryovers. We'll all be moved to Friday. So thanks, everybody who put into the show, and we will definitely have them all read. And thanks again. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate you all. It was wonderful. It was fun. Have a great night. Love you. Bye-bye.